The across-the-board cuts are now scheduled to take place on March 1st, after Congress instituted a two-month delay as part of the fiscal cliff negotiations. Air Force Secretary Michael Donnelly says his service is complying with guidance the Pentagon issued a day before by creating a game plan to conserve cash in case the cuts do happen midway through the fiscal year.
Civilian hiring restrictions, curtailing non-readiness or mission essential flying and travel, curtailing or stopping minor purchases such as furniture and IT refreshment, and deferring non-emergency facility sustainment, restoration, and modernization.
Donnelly told reporters at the Pentagon that Air Force headquarters will send specific directions to the service's major commands within the next few days. But an internal memo obtained by the Associated Press shows the Air Force believes it would have to reduce flying hours by 20% and put an end to all flights that aren't involved in combat or otherwise mission essential. Donnelly told reporters the Air Force would do everything it could to protect funding for airmen who are deployed or who are about to deploy.
The curtailments we're looking at now relate to non-mission essential or non-readiness related flying, and we'll let the commanders make the individual calls on how best to do that. Again, this is a large expense for the Air Force broadly. It's a big chunk of operation and maintenance funding, so... But we're trying to protect the readiness impacts from flying hour reductions as long as possible. But to come back to the basic point here, the measures we're taking now are the prudent things we can do to mitigate risks. If sequestration hits and the multi-billion dollar reductions fall on the last two quarters of the fiscal year, there is no way not to impact training, flying hours, and maintenance.
Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, struck a similar tone the day before when he announced the planning measures. He and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Martin Dempsey pleaded with Congress to allow DOD time to absorb any impending cuts rather than slicing $45 billion from all areas of the budget midway through the fiscal year.
You know, we're spending at this level, and if we're required to do these cuts, suddenly we've got to achieve this level of savings. Where do we go? We're going to protect the warfighter. We're going to protect those that are involved in Afghanistan. We're going to protect those areas that are we think are critical to our national defense. So where do you go? You go to readiness. You go to maintenance. You go to training. This is where cuts are ultimately made. And when that happens, it makes us less ready.
On the civilian side of the Air Force manpower equation, Donnelly did not say how severe he expects civil service furloughs to be, but he says there are no current plans to begin issuing furlough notices to the workforce. Nonetheless, he says sequestration would undoubtedly have a major impact on the Air Force's civilians.
Well, we do have to pay attention to the planning that would be necessary to do that later if required. Because of the various personnel rules that are in place, and rightly so, notifications to union and all that. So we have to pay attention to that, plan for that at some point, just to be prudent in terms of how to approach the third and fourth quarters. Again, if the sequestration falls on just the last two quarters of the fiscal year, we can't avoid these kinds of impacts. And in this case, as I mentioned, I think about 40% of our operating account is in civilian personnel. So these things have to be looked at seriously. They cannot be avoided.
With or without sequestration, assuming the Air Force's budget continues to get smaller in the coming months or years, Donnelly says it's still his service's position that it can't afford to give up any major sets of missions. Instead, budgets are going to determine how many people and how much force structure the Air Force has available to do the job.
We're going to continue to do global ISR. We're going to continue to do global precision attack, mobility, command and control, special operations. All these things remain part of the Air Force's job jar. The challenge for the Air Force, and not just the Air Force, other services as well, is capacity. What will be the size of the military? How much of that will we have? So I think those are the issues pressing in on the U.S. military. We all understand the value of the joint capabilities which the Air Force, the Navy, the Army bring to the joint team, the importance of that to coalition operations in all its dimensions. We need all of these piece parts to bring together the world's finest, you know, military capability. The issue is capacity. How much of it will we have?
And General Mark Welsh, the Air Force Chief of Staff, says one way or another, the Air Force will have to find the money to fully modernize its fleet of aircraft. He says it's been able to get by with service life extension programs for its older fleet of fighters, tankers, and bombers. But those aircraft are getting more and more expensive to upgrade, operate, and maintain.
You know, the first memory I have of my grandfather is him pulling up in front of our house in his 53 Chevy convertible. Green and white, it was a sweet car. Now, if we were at Minot today, I could take you out the flight line and I could show you a whole bunch of sweet B-52s. And in 2028, when we deliver the last KC-46 tanker, we'll still have about 200 sweet KC-135s on the ramp. And they'll be about the same age then, 60, as my grandfather's car would be today. And the difference is that my granddad's car has an antique auto plate on it. Modernization is an option. It doesn't matter if we get smaller. We have got to figure out how to make modernization happen.
But the Defense Department is taking a more cautious approach to modernization as well in its new sequestration guidance. All contracts or contract modifications that would spend more than $500 million now need the go-ahead from the Pentagon's Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. It's yet another piece of evidence that after a year of dire warnings about the consequences of sequestration, DOD now thinks there's a serious likelihood that it will actually happen this time. Again, Secretary Panetta.
I'd like to believe that ultimately the Congress will do the right thing. I thought last year that sequestration was so nuts that that there wasn't a chance that it would happen. And was told, frankly, there was not a member of Congress that I talked to that didn't think that sequestration was the wrong thing. But the longer they delayed dealing with it, my fear in talking to members of Congress is that this issue may now be in a very difficult place in terms of their willingness to confront what needs to be done to trigger sequester. And so for all of those reasons, plus, as I said, the uncertainty of what will happen on CR, what could happen on the debt ceiling, if you put all of that together, we simply cannot sit back now and not be prepared for the worst.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.